With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Let me ask you a question. When we talk about stewardship, do you see it as a duty or a delight? Now, it is a commandment. God hadn't suggested this. It's commandment, but do you see the commandment as duty, drudgery, or do you see it as a delight for generosity, for engagement, to do business for the Master with everything that He has allocated to us? How do you see it?
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us the second half of the message, The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom, Part 1. We continue with our series on lifestyle stewardship. Duty is a word that many people associate more with drudgery than delight. But this is a woefully unbiblical view of our gospel duties as believers. After all, we have a duty to cultivate loving, healthy Christian marriages, and such a marriage is hardly drudgery, but a delight to the believer. Now, biblical lifestyle stewardship is a gospel-saturated lifestyle guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to faithfully steward what He has deposited in our care. And we are to view this not as drudgery, but as a gospel duty that is our delight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. We're focusing on verses 11 through 27. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with the second half of the message, The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom, Part 1.
The parable that he's given is this. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. So let's stop. Take this mina and do business. Use it. He just turned them into stewards, overseers, managers, investors. As he leaves, something else is going to be said. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So he has adversaries, opponents, and that's this. These that ought to be receiving him say, no, we don't. His own reject him. And not only his own, but after he leaves, others, many will reject him. This is an active rejection of that king. You will not reign over us. I will reign over myself. You will not reign over us. Send the message to that king. We don't want you to reign. So you got two groups of people. Those who say, you will not reign over us. And then those who are followers of the king and servants of the king, but have also now become stewards for the king. King until he returns. So he leaves. And as he leaves, he gives gifts. And he tells them, do business with it, what I allocate to you. We don't know how long he was gone. God knows that date. We don't. So when he returns at an undisclosed date later. He returns at an unspecified date for us later. We do not know the date or time. But this text says that date, time has now come and he returned. And when he returns, what happens? Accountability. Judgment. Two accountabilities. One, those who rejected him come before him with a lethal judgment. Those who belong to him come before him, not with a lethal judgment, because the king had already died for them before he left. But they do come for a stewardship judgment. We don't get the report of all 10 of all those believers, but we do get 3. Now, what do the 3 say to us? Let's look at it. Here's the first one. So he called his servants to whom he had given the money. He called them to him that he might know what they had noticed, productivity gained by focus doing business. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, faithful, good, good servant. Well done, good servant, because you have been faithful. He is a good, faithful, productive servant, focused and productive. You have gained. You have done this with what I gave you. Because you have been faithful in a very little, one mina, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said in him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Now, stop and think, folks, but before I get to this third one. Stewardship judgment, one mina. That's a dollar. 300, it's 100 drachmas. So we'll call it a dollar. And he turned it into 10. Pretty good. 1,000%. 1,000% productivity. And he looks at him and he says, here's your mina. It's now 10 minas and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it back to you. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in little, I'm going to give you what? 10 cities. I want you right now to think about that. One mina, 10 minas, reward, 10 cities in the new kingdom, designated to rule and reign over with the king. The one with 5 had a 500% return, and he got 5 cities. Now let's go to the third one. The third one comes, and he said to him, then another came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. In other words, I'm not a steward, I'm a hoarder. I didn't steward, I hoarded. Well, why did you hoard? Here's his answer. I was afraid of you because you are a severe, that is, you're a man of inflexible standards. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. Of course, immediately you could say, and where did you get that mina? From whom did you get that mina? What do you mean? You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. So he, that's Jesus, said to him, I will condemn you. So he had been in the discipleship group, but now we find out he's not really one, just like Judas. He said, I will condemn you. I will condemn you. Why? Because of your own words. He said to them, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Then why did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Your action, you would have at least invested it in the bank so I could get it with interest. No, you hoarded it as if your own, as if it was your life. You didn't even act consistently with your excuse that I was a severe man. And then he says, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10. They said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, if they are not faithful, I will get it to the faithful. If God knows it gets through you, it gets to you. Now, I'm not talking about just about money, because he allocates much more than that. Talents, experiences, opportunities, all of those things. And so now the principle to whom, when though you're faithful in little, is when God gives you the opportunity to be faithful in much. But there's another part of that judgment. Here it is, verse 27. But as for the enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. That judgment is eternal death in the lake of fire forever. So let me give you a takeaway here. The privilege and rewards of a lifestyle of faithful, focused, and productive stewardship are astonishingly disproportionate to the results of our stewardship. Can I show you the condemnation of the man who hoarded? Number one, he didn't act consistent with his excuse. It was about him, not about the king. Secondly, he didn't know the king. The same king who is holy is astonishingly gracious. In fact, lavishly gracious. Let's say you walked up to me and I was the Emperor of the United States. What a thought. I want you to know, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. But let's suppose for a minute we changed government and I was the emperor. And you came up to me and said, "Harry, that dollar you gave me, look, I used it. Here's 10. And I say to you, "Wonderful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here, I'm giving you Birmingham, Huntsville, Chattanooga, Charlotte, Savannah, Montgomery, Atlanta." Well, no, not Atlanta. Knoxville. "And I give you 10 cities because you were faithful with $1. The reward is disproportionate to the results of the stewardship. Your God is not only gracious when he came to save you before he left at Calvary. He is also gracious when he returns astonishingly with rewards that are affirming the results of our stewardship, and they're disproportionate to the results of our stewardship, and our stewardship would never have been there if he hadn't given us the resources and the strength and the direction to be good stewards to begin with. If stewardship of life is drudgery, you don't know the king. You don't know the king." Folks, there are 2 days that are crucial. Again, I thank Dr. Ferguson for the insights. And that's built into this parable. There are 2 days that are crucial. If I say to you, there are 2 fixed days that are crucial that will affect your life, and I say, what are those days? What would most people tell me are those 2 fixed days? Any suggestions? Birth, death. That's the perspective of the unbeliever. Your perspective is the day he rose and the day he returns. When he rose, I was saved, because it was the shout that the cross had won the victory. And when he returns, not only did I receive grace upon grace, not only did I get what I didn't deserve before he left, when he returns, I will receive astonishingly beyond what I deserve as a steward with what he has given to me. That's what takes duty and makes it delight. The first day where he saved me, before he left, resurrected, and ascended, he went to that cross, and not only does he give me a mina that I don't deserve, and one day a reward that I don't deserve, he gave me himself, which I didn't deserve, on the cross. And I am his and he is mine. I was thinking through some things R.C. said. Praise the Lord, he's with the Lord now. I think the last couple of years, if you're a mentor of Harry, get ready to go meet Jesus. But I remember this that he shared one time. It awakened something in my mind. When I at the First Alliance Church, we were always doing improvements, and there's a red clay hill. There's red clay all over Mecklenburg County. There's a red clay hill, and we'd get out of the youth group, run to the hill, and play. No video games in those days, praise the Lord. We did King of the hill. Does anybody know the objective of King of the Hill? It's interesting to me. The King of the Hill is the one that gets on the hill and pushes anybody down that wants to get up on the hill beside him. That's the King of the Hill. And our parents are inside the church, and we just left our youth group lessons, and they had been telling us, oh no, there's a king who went up on a hill to die so that you could rise up on that hill with him. There's your king. No political, not immediate, but your king that died for you. That makes stewardship not drudgery, but joy. And now he says, let me tell you, that king's coming back, and there's going to be a day of accountability. And in that day, your stewardship, it'll be imperfect, it'll be uneven, it will not, listen, you won't even be profitable because you've only done with what he gave you to begin with. But you can be faithful, you can be focused, you can be productive with that which he has entrusted to you, that marriage, that spouse, those children, that spiritual gift, those experiences, the gospel, the word of God, the Spirit of God. Think of all these things that the risen Savior who saved you now deposits within you. Now he's given that to you. Don't hoard it. Steward it. Use it. And we all, having given it and using it, will stand before him, and with the same humility of these men. Did you notice what they said? They didn't say, well, I took my mina and this is why I bring back the 10. No, no, did you hear what they said? Your mina. I never owned anything. It was yours all along. Your mina has now earned. Notice, not I earned. His mina earned. You, with what you gave me, earned through what I did 10 minas for you. And it's all about him. Then he lavishly rewards you disproportionately for all eternity. Can you imagine that day? Oh my goodness. What an absolutely glorious day. Now think, please think of your stewardship that way. The first day he won the victory. And he's coming again to receive the kingdom, and there's going to be a judgment. And those that don't know him, who refuse to surrender to him, face a judgment of unending death in the torment of hell. Folks, I got something else to say in these last couple of minutes, but before I say it, are you there? You haven't surrendered to Jesus? Who gave himself to save sinners like us. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to heal the sick. Have you surrendered? Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm yours. And praise God, you're mine. I don't want you at that day on that side of the judgment. But let's step to the other side, the stewardship side. And I stand before him and I give account for the wife he gave me, the children he gave me, the grandchildren he gave me, the spiritual gifts he gave me, my calling as a pastor to a marvelous church that I did not deserve and I don't deserve, the gospel he gave to me, the Spirit of God he gave to me, the Great Commission he gave to me, the Great Commandment he gave to me, encounters, divine appointments every single day he gives to me, experiences to mold me and shape me he gave to me. Did I steward them with faithfulness, not perfection, faithfulness, focus, and by his grace, earning through his power that much more to give back to him? That first day is a glorious day. It reminds me of the day of when he first gave me my salvation. The day that those Marines hit Iwo Jima. And by the third day, they had got on Mount Suribachi, and headlines in the Chicago paper the next day, the Battle of Iwo Jima is over, victory. Because the flag had been raised on the mountain, and they were right. Those boys won that battle on that day. But there was still 2.5 months of pillbox by pillbox, trench by trench, 22,000 casualties, 21 medals of honor yet to be won. Our King won the victory. He has defeated the enemies, and he has saved us from our sins. He has gone away. He will return to receive that kingdom that is now filling up as his people through stewardship are being used to fill that kingdom as they steward what he has given to them by his power. And when he returns, then he comes. And as we give our account, the rewards are beyond comprehension to the results of our stewardship. We yet have that to encounter from our God. Folks, I just have to say it. If stewardship is a drudgery, and it has been in my life, folks, I'm not above this. Thinking through, what do you do with your spiritual gift? How do you stir up your gift? How do you use it? What do I do in right husbandship and marriage and parenting and stewarding the children? But praise God, you can. I remember as a youth pastor, I went to this church. I won't name the denomination. It was just about to die. There were 6 young people. God was gracious, started bringing in all kind of young people. And it wasn't long before I got a phone call and I had to go to the council of the church. And they said, you know, Mr. Reeder, we thank you for being our youth director, but we got a problem. I said, what? And they said, our kids are choosing these small little Christian schools. Our kids are talking about going to missions. Our kids are talking about, listen, we brought you in here. Well, let me give you the bottom line. We brought you in here to tell them about Jesus so they don't get pregnant, don't get into drugs, and don't get drunk, and we just don't embarrass us. This is going too far. Our kids going to mission fields. They didn't know about stewardship. Where would God use my child to raise your child in the nurture and admonition, not of a university, not of a vocation, but of the Lord who will lead them into that vocation? Stewardship of your children, stewardship of your gifts, stewardship of your finances, stewardship of your talents, physical talents, spiritual talents, that God has given those to you. And you say, God, I refuse to wrap it up in a handkerchief. I refuse to wrap it up and stick it away. I am not going to be a hoarder. I want to be a faithful, productive, fixed overseer and shepherd and steward for the Lord Jesus. I want not only the delight of duty, but the duty itself is a delight in and for the Lord. I want to hear what Peter says. Lord, we've given all up. And Jesus says, what you have given is nothing to what you will receive 100-fold in the life to come. That's how I want to live, and that's the way I desire to live. You just don't know him if it's drudgery. So get in the Word and get in the Spirit and get under the Word and meet him and test him. He's faithful and will make you faithful with joy. When I was in the first grade, Greensboro, North Carolina, my dad was in the Carolina League. I walked home from first grade, just started school. And I walked home from school, walked to school, walked home from school, 5 miles in the snow, uphill both ways. I'd always get home and my grandmother was there. And she had my little black dog. Had a little red, now this wasn't a real dog, this was a, you know, the dog. Black, furry, with the cotton on it and all that. Little red tongue sticking out, button eyes. She would have him and put me on her lap, put that on me. By the way, come to my house, I'll show you on the bed, I still got the dog. He's getting a little old, but I got him. And we would sit there on her lap and she would sing. And tell me to sing. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what is recorded in God's Word. Isn't he wonderful? That's what will change it. Meet and know your wonderful Savior. That third man, he didn't know him. You can, and take great joy in his lavish love for you.
Lifestyle stewardship is a gospel-saturated lifestyle guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to faithfully steward what He has deposited in our care. And we are to view this not as drudgery, but as a gospel duty that is our delight. Join us again next time as we continue in our series, Lifestyle Stewardship. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom, Part 1, or simply ask for message number 15348. Again, that's message number 15348. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling, when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. In Perspective is an extension of the Briarwood Pulpit and the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. For more information about Briarwood or to review the Christian resources available to you and your family from Briarwood, visit us at briarwood.org. Another great way to stay in touch is by downloading the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you enjoy the daily teaching of In Perspective, may we encourage you to subscribe to In Perspective. It's easy. On your smartphone or your tablet, go to your iTunes icon. Type in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every weekday, automatically will be downloaded to your device a new edition of Harry's 30-minute Bible teaching program, In Perspective. It's yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.